Welcome to another Car Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, it's getting towards Christmas, so this will probably...
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all our listeners, as well as you,
Sean. How many are there? Anyone who's listening, Merry Christmas to you. Hope you have a lovely new year as well.
Well, they tell me there's a few people listening.
I hope there are. Otherwise, yeah. We're just sitting here talking to ourselves.
Well, I suppose it's better than some of the other options that are available.
I do talk to myself a lot.
Yes, I've noticed that, but that's good. At least it's easy to find you.
Yeah, well, it keeps people away from me too.
And, Ben, probably our last show until next year. So let's have a little bit of a recap of some recent sport happenings. I mean, can we start off with cricket, Test cricket?
Well, the Ashes are on.
Yeah, and look, I wonder how – I tried to find this information out, and it's very difficult, but how many times has there been a first ball – duck on the first ball of a test game?
I'm going to have to say there's been a few.
No, I don't think so. There hasn't been a lot. I couldn't find a lot. But
how many did you find?
I couldn't find any.
So yesterday, the first day of the Ashes was the first. Are you saying the first time?
No, because what they do is they list things like the golden ducks, who's got the most golden ducks, who got a golden duck in their first test and all this type of stuff. So I'd probably need to really redefine the search terms to work it out. But still, I kind of recall it being happening, you know, a couple of times in the last, 50-odd years.
Opening batsmen have got out very early in lots of games, but were the very first ball.
And we're not talking about the first ball of a team batting innings. We're talking about the actual first ball of the game.
Test.
Amazing. So at the Gabba, and the funny thing is Mitch Stark, who was under a lot of heat about his selection, especially from Shane Warne and others, but he sort of bowled his in-swinger, took out the leg stump, got the English opener Rory Burns, golden duck. It just set the tone of the whole game.
Well, they went on to bowl them out for 147.
Yeah, pretty good.
Which is great for us.
And, you know, I kind of question a fast bowler's captain, but he came through 5 wickets.
Yes, he did. And I think, you know, obviously putting Stark in there first, he's probably thinking, well, I'm on a winner here. So he's achieved that first ball, got 5 himself, and cleaned up England for 147, and then organised for it to rain really heavily.
Now, I'm waiting for a third amazing cricket feat to happen soon, because things happen in threes. And the other week ago, we had Ajax Patel got 10 for 119. He got all the wickets for New Zealand against India in the one innings. And it's only ever happened twice before. And I'll mention those later. And Patel also got 14 wickets for the whole match. He got 4 in the second innings. But he was bowling for New Zealand against India in Mumbai. Now, Ajax Patel was actually born in India, Mumbai. So he went home to break the record.
Playing for New Zealand.
Yeah, unbelievable. Jim Laker was the first to do it, 1956, 10 for 53 against Australia at Manchester in the second innings. Second guy was Anil Kumble, the Indian spinner, in 1999. He got 10 for 74 in Delhi against Pakistan. So, yeah, Patel got 10 for 119 in the first innings. But just absolutely amazing that we can have two such rare feats happen basically a week or so apart.
What do you think the third one will be?
The third one will probably be a double hat trick.
Okay, double hat trick.
Either one.
A double hat trick.
Yeah, that means one bowler can get 2 hat tricks in the same game, or 2 different bowlers. That would be amazing. Can you imagine? I don't think it's ever been done. 2 bowlers get hat tricks in a test game.
Same test game.
Yeah. Well, keep our fingers crossed.
Yes, we will.
So, there's been a. I'm not sure how interested you are in motor racing, but we have Bathurst, and then we've got a very exciting conclusion to the F1 season. So, I suppose I'll ask you a couple of questions. See how you're going. What about Bathurst?
How was Bathurst? Well, first of all, I've got to say, put it back to the normal time. Like Bathurst is normally in the long weekend, October.
Yep.
Has been forever. And I know you go on about your tradition like SNFL. I want to go on about get it back. And I believe next year it is.
I respect that.
On another note about the calendar of next year, guess where there are no V8 races next year?
Adelaide?
South Australia. None.
Wow.
So the government can Adelaide.
Yep.
And then we go up to Tailem Bend. But V8 supercars have not put South Australia in the calendar for next year, which is not a, that's not a great thing for racing in Australia, but especially not South Australia. So there is one round yet to be decided. So I'm really hoping that that will be up at the Bend. But, of course, the Labor Party is saying if they get in March, they're actually going to try and get the V8s back in Adelaide before the end of the year.
Wow.
So that would be interesting. But that's, I think, you know, the Liberal Party went on about, oh, this wouldn't be an issue. But I think V8 Supercars said, well, we'll take our racing somewhere else. But Bathurst was last week. And, of course, Bathurst Day is Sunday. That's the big day, the big race. And so that's my job is just to sit in my recliner all day and watch. Great race. Chaz Mostert, who races for Walkinshaw Andretti Racing in a Commodore, won his second one. That car was just fast. Like in qualifying, he did 2:03, the fastest time ever around the Mount Panorama. So pretty basic race for a long time. Guess what stopped the race and brought out a safety car? I don't know. Did you? I don't know if you saw it, but so you were.
Kangaroo?
Well, that's happened before. Another Australian animal, not a kangaroo.
Koala?
No. Closer to the ground.
A wombat.
With spikes.
Oh, an echidna.
An echidna.
Wow.
So an echidna's walking across the track. Cars are swerving to miss it. And, of course, this, and then they had to stop the race to get the echidna. That's only going to happen in Australia, isn't it?
Well, echidnas are only basically in Australia, so.
Well, it's amazing. Anyway, so that happened. And then, of course, once the sort of thing in racing is once there's one safety car, that brings the field back together, which creates a bit of pandemonium. And that's exactly what happened. There was three or four more safety cars as there were accidents and all sorts. But Chaz Mostert and Lee Holdsworth were just too good. And they went out to
the Queenwisers to the top.
Well, they were fast all week, all through the practice, all through the qualifying, and yeah, they race very well. So congratulations to them.
I must ask you a question. You were relaxing in your recliner watching it. Now, when you had your wedding anniversary, did Sharon not buy you one beer for every year?
She did.
So you recently had a birthday. Did she do that again? And did you have 65 beers?
No.
No.
I did not get 65 beers for my 54th birthday. I think you're getting us mixed up, Rob.
Even I'm not 65, mate.
Well, you sound like it.
Oh, thank you for that. That's very nice of you. And but I just imagine you sitting in your recliner, sucking on a few beers.
No, I don't drink a lot. I have I had 30 beers for 30 years. I had one a day over 30 days, and I did have one beer on Bathurst Day. For lunch, that was all. But the Formula One, now I haven't always been to Formula One, but I've always sort of, you know, in the background. But this year, my God, it's exciting. Max Verstappen, young guy racing for Red Bull, has been leading the championship all year. Lewis Hamilton, going for his 8th world championship, has been catching him slowly. It's been a contest between those two all year.
And they're level, aren't they?
Well, Verstappen's Red Bull. Hamilton is Mercedes, and so they're bitter rivals, those two teams. And it's been pretty tight in the constructors as well. So Red Bull and Mercedes have been neck and neck in the constructors' championship. Hamilton has won the last three races and slowly been eking away at Verstappen's lead. And Verstappen's got second in the last three races, but you get 25 points for first, 18 for second. Now, they go into the last race this weekend in Abu Dhabi tied 369.5 points each.
Wow.
So whoever finishes in front
of those two
wins.
So no one can touch them.
Well, no one can touch them. No one can beat them. One of those two is going to win the championship. Interestingly, though, there was a lot of issues. The last race was in Saudi Arabia, first time ever, and they a street circuit purpose built in Jeddah. There was a lot of issues. Verstappen ended up getting multiple penalties. Verstappen's a young guy, and my God, he races hard, and he just does not give up. So he like Hamilton trying to pass him, he ran off the track and overtook him. He had to give the place back. And so the team said, well, slow down, let him pass. Now, he did that, but Hamilton wouldn't go past him. So Verstappen slowed down, slowed down, slowed down, and Hamilton wouldn't pass him, right? Because there's a thing called DRS, drag reductions system in Formula One, where when you go through this zone, if you are within a second of the car in front of you, you get that to open your wing down the straight, right, which gives you a lot more speed. Now, Hamilton didn't want to pass Verstappen before that point, because if he did, Verstappen would have DRS and overtake him. So these two were playing cat and mouse. And anyway, Hamilton has ended up running into the back of Verstappen.
Wow.
Luckily, did a bit of damage, but not enough to stop him and or Verstappen racing. In the end, they deemed Verstappen to be at fault because he apparently braked too heavily. And so there was a lot of angst between these two in this, and there has been all year. Hamilton took out Verstappen in Silverstone and went on to win. And at Brazil a few weeks ago, Hamilton did an overtake on Verstappen, and Verstappen ran him off the track. They both went on to
continue. No love lost.
None at all. And if you think back in the past, Senna took out Prost in the first corner, because, again, if Prost and him didn't finish the Grand Prix, Senna wins the championship. That happened. And Schumacher took out Damon Hill in Adelaide, again, because if Damon Hill finished ahead of him, he would lose. But if they both didn't finish, Schumacher would win. Now, interesting going into this one, Verstappen is ahead because he's had more wins. So from Verstappen's point of view, if he doesn't finish and Hamilton doesn't finish, he wins the world championship. If Hamilton finishes ahead of him, he loses it. So this weekend, Abu Dhabi is going to be very interesting.
I was going to ask you what would happen if they both crashed out. So obviously they do have a winner.
Yeah, because it's even though they're equal on points, Verstappen's had more wins for the year, and so that's what the tiebreaker is. And so it's going to be interesting because Verstappen has shown that he is not afraid to run Hamilton off the track and or possibly cause a collision.
Now tell me this, if there is a draw, do they get in the boxing ring? Because it sounds like a couple of prize fighters the way you're telling
it. Well, they talk about them. I mean, you know, I mean, Formula One is very, very fast and obviously not as dangerous as it used to be back in the day. Like, they're pretty safe now. But they talk about them being gladiators and so on. And, you know, it's big, big money. This is the top end of sport, isn't it? The top end of motor racing. And they're playing for a lot of prize money. And, of course, for their teams. They're getting a lot of sponsorship, etc. So there's a lot on the line. I'm hoping Verstappen wins because, you know, again, Hamilton is a fabulous driver. Obviously, you can't win seven. He has all the records. The only record he doesn't have, he equals Schumacher on seven world championships each.
So he can break that if he wins.
If he wins, he'll be the first one ever to get eight, which, you know, I mean, he certainly deserves that. But, you know, it's just great to see that young underdog with an opportunity. So,
oh, it's all set up for a grand finale.
It is a big grand finale. And they've had the last three races have been in the Middle East. They went Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and now in Abu Dhabi this weekend.
Wow. I remember once watching on the television and seeing it might have been Formula One, and there was a bit of a crash and they got out and they started boxing on. Do you remember that?
Oh, it's happened in all sorts of motorsport. They obviously, tensions are really high. I don't know if it would happen. I think Hamilton probably wouldn't be interested in that sort of stuff, but Verstappen, I know, does a bit of boxing for his training. He might be more likely to want to do that, but I don't imagine. Hamilton's a bit more of an elder statesman.
Okay. Now, there's over the Christmas New Year period, they got the Proclamation Day Festival at Glenelg where they played beach volleyball, and they have triathlons and biathlons in the past and fun runs, and they even have chess games and a whole range of different sports.
You want to go down there and play chess?
No.
With your newfound talent?
Which talent?
You're talking about last podcast.
No, I said I'm interested. I didn't say I had a talent.
But you said you were playing and playing well and, you know, getting better and better.
Yes, but I'm not up to the standard of those grandmasters.
Okay.
But again, Merry Christmas to everyone, and have a safe holiday period, and Happy New Year, and we'll see you in the new year, Sean.
See you too, Rob. Have a good time with your family.
So ends another Carlin Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.